Hi, am I on the air?
Yep.
Fuck.
Thanks.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Is this thing gone? I said shots Nick and Dawn. Him on the air radio every Sunday night, man. What up? Red Dragons. Shout out to the boy Nick. I see you done. You about to witness the real talk, real talk. Put it in your ear. We reaching for the sky, but we put it in the air. Not a glass jar, but I tell it to you clear. Hammer on the air, we rock. Here's your whip, man. Hammer on the air. Here's this mic here for nothing. My demographic poor dude box office numbers. Weekend review said we number one getters. Now y'all all here, we're number one getters. Turn it on, Nick and Dawn. And I'm like, turn it up, what the fuck, eh? We air it out, wear it out, and we winning. Him on the air, follow back, and we trending. You can't tell me what I bet not be. Don't give a FCK about the FCC. I'm the head for the hellers, voice for the voices. Him on the air, Sunday night, and I'm off this.
Going down, everybody. Welcome back. It's that time again. Am I on the air? Yes, I am on the air on a Tuesday, actually, May the 6th. And welcome to the show. It's season 8, episode 13. Tonight's episode, Itsy Bitsy Spider. And so let me just set a little background here. My name is Don Mega. I'm your host. And I was not live on Sunday. I know I've had several people being like, where's the show at? Where's the show at? And I apologize. This past weekend, I had to work. Usually don't work on weekends. I run on a rotation basis. And I had to work this past weekend. I had to work at 5 in the morning. So that required me getting up at 4 in the morning on Saturday and Sunday. And then Sunday evening, the WWE pay-per-view was on. I'm a big WWE fan, so watching the pay-per-view, hanging out with my brother-in-laws, and, you know, by the time that all got done, I was exhausted and just pretty much had to call it a night, because, of course, I had to work the next day as well. So tonight was the first opportunity that I have to come back and be alive with you all. So, thanks for your patience. Sorry for the delay for a couple days, but I'm excited to be here for this Itsy Bitsy Spider episode, and got a lot to talk about, honestly, as I just throw my phone across the room. So, you know, there's been some pretty big stories going down in the last week that we're going to get to, like Justice League is officially coming, and I'm so stoked about that, so we're going to talk about that. The Star Wars cast was announced. Holy crap, we're going to talk about that. And of course, our big movie review of the week is, can you guess? I don't know. The name of the episode is It's Bitsy Spider. So, our review of the week is The Amazing Spider-Man 2. And this is something that a lot of people have been waiting to hear me talk about. Because I'm telling you right now, I was not in love with this movie. We're going to talk about it. So, jam-packed show, plus a bunch of other just random news to get everybody caught up on. You know how we do. So, we'll jump right into it. Going to start off with the review of The Amazing Spider-Man 2. You know, spoiler-free, because that's how we roll here. I got to keep it spoiler-free for the people that have not seen it. Let's talk some positives first. I saw this in IMAX 3D, and even though the 3D didn't really do much for me, the IMAX aspect of it was pretty amazing. Spider-Man as a whole, as far as the character goes, this was probably the best we've ever seen an incarnation of Spider-Man on the big screen. Andrew Garfield has really solidified with this film how much better he is than Tobey Maguire. You know, and I like the Tobey movies. But Andrew Garfield really is Spider-Man. the way he plays him up is exactly the way he is in the comics. You know, how the slapsticky comments, I mean, everything is exactly what I want out of Spider-Man. And he's a great Peter Parker, and they nailed it with this casting decision. And this movie really solidified, you know, we only had one movie to go off of, and you pretty much got the feeling that he was going to be the best out of the first Amazing Spider-Man. But it really, once this movie hit, it took it over. So that was great. The visuals were outstanding, and I would hope so, because I heard this film cost about $220 million to make. Whew. On a side note, talking budget, the film itself cost over $200 million to make, and then Sony put in $200 million just in marketing. This movie needs to cross the $600 million mark to turn a profit. That is a scary thought. It'll probably do it, but that's a big hill you have to make this movie climb to actually earn you some profit. So, I don't know why they went so overboard with the marketing on this thing. It was too much. You know, they had like 5 trailers for this movie, a bunch of international trailers, TV spots up the ass, and it just wasn't needed. They spoiled a lot with all those trailers, and kind of a waste of money, to be honest with you. But, you know, Sony believes in this franchise, and they're really, really pushing it. Alright, so back to the movie. Basically, the gist of this film, you have a million characters in this film, but under its front, you have the love relationship between Peter and Gwen. Gwen Stacy, of course, played by Emma Stone, coming back from the first movie. Love their relationship. And for a lot of people, they don't realize that Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone are a real-life couple. They really are. They've been dating for many years now. And, you know, I keep hearing all these people say, man, their chemistry is so good. Well, yeah, because it's real. And they are a real-life couple, and they really do have great chemistry. So, that is why. So, to rock your world right now, if you didn't know that, they are a real-life couple. Jamie Foxx is in the movie, and of course he plays Electro, the villain. But before he becomes Electro, he is, you know, like this little nerdy guy that works at Oscorp. You have Dane DeHaan in the film, best known for Chronicle. He plays Harry Osborn. You have Paul Giamatti in here as the Rhino. And this is where I just have to laugh at some of these things, because I like Paul Giamatti. He was horrible as Rhino. So horrible. Rhino was just a character that wasn't needed in this film, and he kind of just got pushed into it for no reason. What you've seen of Rhino in the trailers, in the TV spots, excuse me, is pretty much the extent of his role in the movie. So, there goes that marketing machine again. Electro, before he becomes Electro, is ultra cheesy as well. One of my beefs with this film was the cheesiness factor at times. The villains felt to me straight out of Joel Schumacher's Batman films. Very, very cheesy, over the top. Just, it was such a throwback to those 90s Batman films, like Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, where it was just so hammy. You know, once he became Electro and he actually started utilizing his powers, he was a pretty cool character at that point. But before that, straight out of Batman Forever. Character was treated very much like Jim Carrey's Riddler in that film. Dane DeHaan's Green Goblin, that Green Goblin role was forced in so much and without really any background to it. It's like, here I am, I'm Harry Osborn, and we used to be friends, now I'm the Green Goblin. And, you know, the Green Goblin should have been held off to the third movie to introduce him. You should have introduced Harry in this film, and then went on to Green Goblin in the next film. But nope, they had to hurry it up and push it up, and it just made no sense. And like I said, Rhino, ultra, ultra cheesy. Paul Giamatti, great actor. Let's give him a Russian accent and have him be over-the-top stupid. That's exactly what they did. They just did things in this movie, man. It's like these big action scenes are going down, and people are getting shot at, and all hell's breaking loose. And you just got citizens in New York just chilling on the side of the streets going, oh, go Spidey, go Spider-Man, you can do it. Really? if that shit was happening, you'd be running your ass off trying to get to safety. You know, you're going to be standing there with your kid cheering Spider-Man on when a big rhino's running down the street shooting at people? Come on. You know, Electro's in the middle of Times Square, electrocuting everybody, and you're just going to sit there and be like, oh, this is awesome, I'm going to sit here and watch. Dumb. Another dumb aspect from the filmmakers. Electro had this music that played. It was like this electronic music that was like an inner monologue over a beat where it was like, he lied to me, he shot at me, he's my enemy. The first time it happened, I was like, oh, that's kind of unique, that's kind of interesting. By the fifth time it happened, I was like, shut this shit off, man, this is so dumb. The movie is too long. It's way too long. It's almost 2.5 hours long. It didn't need to be. You could have cut a half hour out easily, and the movie would have been much, much better. Way too long. I don't mind movies being over the 2 hour mark. I mean, Avengers was 2.5 hours, and I loved it. You know, Transformers is like 2.5 hours. I loved it. But this movie, I felt it. Like, if it wasn't Spider-Man and if there wasn't an action scene going on, it was a pretty boring-ass movie, to be honest with you. There was a lot of times where I was just sitting there super, super bored. There was a lot of downtime, a lot of Peter Parker and not Spider-Man. Too much downtime. And they didn't need all that. And that's what happens when you make a 2.5 hour movie. So, I mean, those are my big gripes about it. You know, like I said, Andrew Garfield was great as Spider-Man in this film. When the action scenes were going down, it was beautiful. I mean, the way Spidey swung through the city and the way that, you know, he used his webs and his action and everything was perfect. It was spot on. I'm liking what they're doing with Oscorp. I mean, there's a lot of things that did work, but there's a lot of things that just didn't work in this film. And I felt like maybe my expectation was just too high. I also, you know, came off of, what's our last comic book movie? Captain America the Winter Soldier, which is a 5-star, damn near perfect film. You know, it has a lot to live up to when you go into the next comic book movie and you're like, well, let's see where this takes us. It just didn't hold up to me, you know. I just went and saw the Winter Soldier for the second time in IMAX about 2 weeks ago. And so I'm coming off of that, and the very next week I'm like, ooh, Amazing Spider-Man 2, let's do it. And I'm just like, huh. Bottom line is I liked the movie. I did not love it. I did like it. I'll buy it on Blu-ray when it comes out. I would like to sit down and watch it again just to see if maybe a lower expectation second time around makes me enjoy it more. I don't know. We'll see. But overall, for me, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, out of 5 stars, I gave the movie 3.5 out of 5. Now, I hate to use half stars, but honestly, in this case, it was kind of needed because, you know, 3 means good, 4 means, you know, awesome. And this movie kind of fell in the middle there, you know, because there were awesome parts, and then there were some really stupid parts, and there were some good parts, so you got to kind of balance it out. So it was better than a 3, but not quite a 4. I had to land at 3.5. I saw this movie with both my brother-in-laws, and we all pretty much agreed across the board about a 3.5-star film. Had the same kind of beefs, you know, with each other on the different aspects of it. The movie does a couple things really, really well that I do applaud the filmmakers for a couple of these decisions, and this is where I could get into spoilers. I don't want to ruin it, but there's a couple things that do happen in the film that I was like, wow, they went there, and I give them props for doing it when I thought that they wouldn't. Like I said, overall, good, not great. If you like superhero movies, please go check it out. Be a judge for yourself. The movie's getting a lot of mixed reviews. It's only at about a 50% on Rotten Tomatoes. So, you know, it's a 50-50 movie. Some people like it, some people don't. And, make the judge call for yourself. You know, a lot of people at work, some people loved it, some people didn't. So, it's all over the board. But for me, 3.5 out of 5. And that, my friends, is your review of The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Let's get into the rest of the news of the week. Beyonce and Jay-Z have announced that they're going to go on a big stadium summer tour. So, if you're a big fan into them, it makes sense that they would go on tour together. Why not? Go do it up. Chelsea Handler's in talks with Netflix for a new show. Now, we've been talking, we actually talked about her before, because she's leaving the E! Network, and then a lot of people were saying, oh, she might take over for David Letterman, she might take over for the Late Late Show, and all this stuff, which she's saying she's not. She's been talking with a lot of different things, and now the Netflix thing seems to be the most obvious. So that'd be interesting. They're going to remake Ben-Hur, and the Ben-Hur remake is now slated for a 2016 release date. Zack Snyder. Now, this is my big news that I wanted to get to. Zack Snyder has officially been announced that he is going to direct the Justice League movie. And tentatively, the movie is going to come out in either 2017 or 2018. I'm super stoked about this. As most people know, Man of Steel was probably my favorite movie of last year, of 2013. Loved Man of Steel. It was so, so good. And I've been dying to see where they go with the new DC Cinematic Universe. Then they announced Superman vs. Batman. Great. You know, that's awesome. Can't wait to see Ben Affleck as Batman. See these two go at it. Slowly, they've been adding more heroes to the movie. You know, we got Wonder Woman, played by Gal Gadot. They've been talking about, this dude becoming Cyborg a couple weeks ago. I announced that. Other stars are being rumored to join the film. I mean, so a lot of people are like, man, are they making a Justice League movie, or are we doing the Superman, Batman, what are we doing? This kind of sheds a little bit more light to the deal, because it looks like they're planting seeds, you know, so maybe Wonder Woman won't have that big of a part, but they introduce her, you get to know who she is, and then when they make Justice League next, you know who she is. Same thing with Cyborg. I still don't believe that he's going to actually be Cyborg in the movie. I believe they're going to introduce his character. Maybe the accident will happen, and then you won't hear anything else, and they'll continue that on in Justice League. There's a lot of possibilities here. There's still no confirmation from DC yet, or Warner Brothers, if they're going to officially be doing this movie back-to-back. That is the rumor. The rumor is that they're going to film Justice League back-to-back with Superman Batman, and that's why it'll be released 1 year after, because Superman Batman comes out in summer 2016, and then they say they put the Justice League out in summer 2017. That would make the most sense. I mean, a lot of people, you know, I speculated on this when they first pushed Superman Batman back a year, because it was supposed to start filming earlier, and it was going to come out next year. Then they pushed it back, and my idea was, oh, they pushed it back probably because they're going to film Justice League back-to-back, and they needed a little bit more time to get all the actors lined up and get the scripts together and do it, because it's a lot cheaper for a studio to film movies back-to-back. You know, you have all the cast on set already, and you just go for it. Already, you got the props, you got the sets, everything's already ready to go. So that makes the most sense. I really hope they do that, because that'll be awesome to get Superman, Batman, leave it maybe on a cliffhanger type ending, and then you jump right into Justice League a year later. Awesome. I'm just curious what group they're going to go with, because Cyborg kind of threw things off a little bit. The original idea was to always have the core five: Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Flash, and Green Lantern. Now there's rumors of Aquaman, there's rumors of Martian Manhunter, obviously Cyborg, so who knows what lineup they're going to go with. My biggest question coming out of this is, where does this leave Green Lantern? I'm still curious, because DC is not answering this question, and we're getting no news on it, not even rumors on what is going on with Green Lantern. You know, if you're going to do Justice League and it's confirmed now, what are we doing? Are we bringing Ryan Reynolds back? Is he going to get another opportunity? Are we just forgetting Hal Jordan and we're going to jump to Jon Stewart and we'll cast a new Green Lantern? Let's say The Rock all of a sudden, you know, hey, The Rock is here, he's Green Lantern. I don't know what they're going to do. Do you bring Ryan Reynolds back as Hal Jordan and then maybe kill him off in the Justice League movie? And then you introduce Jon Stewart in the same film to take over the spot? You could do that. I mean, there's so many different ways I can go about it. I feel like DC is going to go the other way, and they're going to just launch Green Lantern again with a different Green Lantern, like Jon Stewart. For me personally, I would like to see them give Ryan Reynolds another shot, and I would like to see Hal Jordan come back. I think Ryan Reynolds would do amazing in a movie like this, in a ensemble film like Justice League. I really do feel like he would just kill it in that. So, I guess that's the biggest question coming out of Justice League, but it is confirmed. Zack Snyder, who directed Man of Steel, Zack Snyder, who's directing Superman vs. Batman. He is coming back, and he's going to do Justice League, which I think is great, because I love Zack Snyder. I like his eye. I think he's going to make a really amazing Justice League movie. And you know, and since he's the man that's behind all the other DC movies so far, at least the visual tone will kind of match, and it'll all be the same. So I'm very, very excited about this news. We knew it was coming, but until it was greenlit, that's what made it feel truly, truly good. All right. Stan Lee has filmed a cameo for Guardians of the Galaxy, which is pretty cool. Stan had come out a couple months ago, and he said that he was not going to do a cameo in Guardians of the Galaxy because he actually did not create Guardians of the Galaxy. He usually only pops up in films that he actually has something to do with. But they did film a funny little scene with him, and he says he will be in the movie, so that's pretty cool. Love seeing the Stan Lee cameos. He actually had a pretty cool one in The Amazing Spider-Man 2 as well. You can now watch the premiere of Showtime's new show, Penny Dreadful. You can watch it early and for free if you have the Showtime app. So check out Showtime Now, I believe it's called, and you can watch that on there. It's something I've been trying to get on and watch. I keep forgetting about it, but I really want to check out Penny Dreadful. It has Josh Harnett and Eva Green in it. It's like a Victorian monster mash-up type of show. And it's on Showtime, which probably means it's going to be pretty cool. John McTiernan, who wrote the movie The Thomas Crown Affair and some other ones, he has been in jail, actually, for tax evasion, I believe. He has wrote a screenplay for The Thomas Crown Affair 2 while in prison. He actually just got released, so I think he's going to try to get this movie made now. But he wrote the script while he was in prison. So, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, he's got a lot of downtime, right? Why not make it useful? Fox has ordered a Grease Live broadcast that will air in 2015. You know, NBC has done a couple of these with these live kind of Broadway-type shows, and now Fox is going to do a Grease. So, cool. Sarah Silverman has joined the cast for Masters of Sex. She will be on the next season of that. This is cool. I mean, I don't watch the show. But I like Sarah Silverman a lot, and the show is getting great ratings, and it was a great show for Showtime. So, you know, I applaud anybody with talent that gets opportunities like this. And who knows, maybe we'll get a naked Sarah Silverman. I'll be down for that. If she joining a show like this. So there you go. Kevin Smith is making another new movie called The Anti-Claus. And it's going to star Justin Long, Haley Joel Osment. The story of Anti-Claus is actually the basic, pretty much what it sounds like. It's an anti-Santa Claus. So if you're a good kid and you're on the nice list, you get presents from Santa. If you're naughty and you're on the bad list, you get your head in a body bag, and the Anti-Claus will come kill you. So it's a new horror movie that Kevin Smith's making. I like the sound of it. The Anti-Claus is coming. Simon Kinberg has announced that they are looking at doing some X-Men TV shows over at Fox. Sorry, I got to take a drink real quick. Hold on. Getting very parched very quickly. So they're looking, they're seeing the success of like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Arrow. They're going to do the Flash TV show. So there's so many characters in the X-Men universe that they're really hard looking at the possibility of doing a TV show for the X-Men universe. So that would be awesome. I'd totally be down. The only downside is cost. You know, doing an X-Men TV show would not be cheap. So, you know, even if they focus on one character, I mean, the effects alone could just be too much. But it's cool to hear that they're thinking about it. Bravo is developing a choose-your-own-adventure reality show. I used to love the choose-your-own-adventure books, but a reality show on Bravo, I'll let that be what it is. Sony has set the new Adam Sandler movie Pixels for release on May 15th, 2015. I'm really, really excited for Pixels. This is the game, this is the movie where it's like video game villains come to life, and Adam Sandler has to get like all the old school video gamer guys together to like help fight them. And like, it just sounds like really like a lot of fun. And I'm super, super stoked for Pixels. Now officially set for May 15th, 2015. Craig Ferguson is going to be leaving CBS's Late Late Show, so that's sad because Craig is very good in that spot. Johnny Knoxville is going to star in a movie called Sick Day. This sounds like a pretty funny little comedy about a dude that calls in sick to his job, but he's not really sick, and obviously let the hilarity roll in after that. Take this for what it is. It's a very big rumor. This was a rumor that popped up months ago when Ben Affleck got cast as Batman, but this rumor is circulating once again that Matt Damon is being sought to play Aquaman in the Justice League movie. I'm taking this with the littlest shred of hope. I think Matt Damon would be awesome as Aquaman, but I seriously don't think they're doing it. Everybody keeps riding this train of like, oh, Ben Affleck's Batman, you might as well get Matt Damon as Aquaman, or you might as well get Matt Damon as Robin. I mean, it's just pretty silly. But this has been circulating on a lot of different news sites, so I threw the rumor out there. Take it for what it is. I wouldn't hold much to it. But I gotta tell you, because, you know, if it does end up being true, you could be like, oh, I heard that on Am I on the Air first. So yeah, take that for what it is. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, the Star Wars Episode 7 cast has been announced. And for most of you, you're like, who? Who? And I don't blame you, because that's what I did for most of this cast. This news came out, and I was super stoked, and I was like, oh man, let's see who they got. And I was like, who? It's very interesting, the cast they went with. So let me break it down for you. First off, the only female addition to the cast is Daisy Ridley. Nobody knows who she is. She's an unknown. She's been in like a little British TV show. Not much is known about her. But Daisy Ridley has joined the cast. Before I get into the full rundown of the cast, I do want to announce that it is also official that Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, Anthony Daniels, Peter Mayhew, and Kenny Baker are signed and will be in Episode 7. So yes, Han Solo and Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker, C-3PO, Chewbacca, R2-D2, they're all coming back and are official for Episode 7. So that's pretty awesome because, you know, Harrison Ford's been playing a nice game for the last year saying, oh, I don't think I'm going to be in it. I don't want to go to Star Wars. I'm not going to be in it. And then, of course, he is. But it's awesome. I mean, that's the biggest piece of the casting news is that the originals are back. Okay, so back to the new casting. Daisy Ridley, who I think will probably play Princess Leia's daughter. Domhnall Gleeson. I don't like this guy, but some people do. He has appeared in Harry Potter. He played Bill Weasley in the final two films. He has also appeared in Dread, Frank, Anna Karenina, and most recently starred across Rachel McAdams in the romantic sci-fi film About Time. I just don't like this guy, and I don't see him fitting in this universe. Oscar Isaac is the next big name to join. I did know about Oscar. He most recently was in Inside Llewyn Davis, which was up for a lot of awards during Oscar and Golden Globe season. He was in Drive, the movie with Ryan Gosling. He was in Sucker Punch. He was in Ridley Scott's Robin Hood. And, yeah. So, I like this guy. I think he'll be really, really cool. John Boyega. He most recently starred in the film Attack the Block. And I didn't care for Attack the Block that much. And I don't even truly remember him from that. But I hear a lot of good things about this guy. So, I'll give him a pass. Maybe he'll be playing Lando's son. Adam Driver. Most people know Adam Driver from the TV show Girls on HBO. He most likely is going to be playing a villain. He was in Clint Eastwood's J. Edgar. He was in Steven Spielberg's Lincoln. And he was also in the movie Inside Llewyn Davis. He's another dude that I just don't like. I just don't like this guy at all. I think he's ugly as hell. I don't think he has very much talent. Maybe he'll change my mind when it comes to Star Wars. I've only seen him in Girls, and I've only seen a couple episodes of Girls, and I hated him in it. Max von Sydow, he has joined the film. Following the tradition of older thespians in Star Wars universe, including Alec Guinness, Christopher Lee, and Peter Cushing. Max von Sydow represents an accomplished performer with decades of experience who instantly brings something powerful to Star Wars Episode 7. Whether he's going to be a Sith, a Jedi, or a member of the Republic or Empire, von Sydow can play it all. He has also starred in The Exorcist, he was in Flash Gordon, he was in Minority Report, and we'll see. A lot of people thinking he's going to be a new bad guy. Andy Serkis. This was actually a very interesting casting. Most people will know Andy as he is the motion capture king. He's the guy that brought Gollum to life in the Lord of the Rings movies. He played King Kong in Peter Jackson's King Kong. He was in Steven Spielberg's Adventures of Tintin. And my favorite, he played Caesar in Rise of the Planet of the Apes. And he's also going to be Caesar again in the new Dawn of the Planet of the Apes this summer. What I'm curious about is, because he's so big in motion capture, is he going to be a motion capture, like CGI character, or is he just going to act in the movie and actually be a live action, performer? It could go either way, honestly, and either way I'll be cool with it. I like Andy Serkis. He's so great in motion capture that I think that they should do something really cool with him from a CGI standpoint. But we will see. But there you go, my friends. That is the Star Wars Episode 7 casting news that came out this week. And then some interesting news that just dropped today. I wanted to let you know, here's the rumored title for Episode 7. Star Wars Episode 7, The Ancient Fear. This is not confirmed, but this is the leading running rumored title for the film. The Ancient Fear. So, dropping that news for you. It pays sometimes to do the show a little bit late, because this news just came out today, and I'm already dropping it on you. So, Star Wars Episode 7, The Ancient Fear, is the rumored title for Episode 7. Alright, moving on. We have the new trailer for The Fault in Our Stars. We have Everything Wrong with Spider-Man 3. Warner Brothers is currently developing 9 other movies based on DC Comics, but it's not what you think it is. they say they're making 9 other films, but they're not the films that we think. It's not going to be like Flash or Green Lantern or any of the big comic book heroes. They're actually looking at doing a movie for the comic Fables, looking at doing Sandman, looking at doing Shazam. They're looking at doing adaptations of 100 Bullets, Metal Men, so those are just to name a few. Guillermo del Toro still wants to do a Justice League Dark movie. Dwayne Johnson supposedly signed for some superhero movie that we don't know of. So there's a lot of things going out there right now in the DC universe. When I saw this article and this news drop that they were developing 9 other movies, I got excited because I was like, man, they're going to really push forward with a Flash movie and a Green Lantern movie and a Wonder Woman movie, and they're going to really, just keep it going. New Batman movie, whatever. And then it was all these unknown titles. So, I'm sure there's fans for all of it. Let's see here. Director Justin Kurzel has boarded Assassin's Creed as the new director, which will also star Michael Fassbender. Michael Fassbender just worked with Justin in his latest movie coming out next year, and I guess he liked the way it went down so much that he told him, come on aboard for Assassin's Creed. And I don't know much about this guy. I've never seen any of his movies before. I guess he's an Australian director, and if you ask any Australians, they'll tell you he's really, really good. So I'll take their word for it. But there you go. Finally got a director landed for Assassin's Creed. Stars has ordered 2 seasons of the new Seth MacFarlane comedy Blunt Talk. Blunt Talk will star Mr. Jean-Luc Picard, Patrick Stewart himself, And I'm excited about this, man. A comedy with Patrick Stewart on Stars. Sign me up. I'm done. Especially from Seth MacFarlane. But yeah, they're so confident in this that they signed the show already for 2 seasons. Awesome. The TV Guide Network has ordered a New Kids on the Block series. Showtime is working with John Singleton to develop an 80s set cocaine drama. I was very saddened by this news. Fox has canceled Almost Human. I'm so bummed about this. Almost Human was one of my favorite new TV shows on this season. And so good, starring Carl Urban. And every episode, awesome. And I really thought for sure they were going to renew this show for another season. And then they canceled it. And I just really don't understand why. I really, really don't. The ratings were just as good as the show The Following, which is also on Fox. And The Following was renewed for another season. So I just don't get it. Super, super bummed. And I've got my fingers crossed that maybe Netflix grabs it. Or TNT. Like maybe another network will pick it up. I don't know. I mean, there's been no rumor of that, but in my heart of hearts, I'm hoping somebody does, because Almost Human was too good of a show to not get more than one season. It is now official that Gwen Stefani has joined The Voice. So, we know that Pharrell Williams has joined as a new coach, taking over for CeeLo. Rumors came out a couple weeks ago that Gwen was going to probably take over for Christina Aguilera, but it was just rumors. Now it's official. She signed the contract. If you saw The Voice this week, actually, on last night, she came out and sang Holla Back Girl, and Pharrell came out and joined her, so they made it official on the TV show as well. So congratulations. Gwen looked amazing last night on The Voice. We got the Honest trailer for the Spider-Man trilogy, the original Sam Raimi trilogy. This is really, really funny. It puts all three movies together, and it's just so good. So the Honest trailer for the Spider-Man trilogy. We got the new international trailer for Godzilla. That looks awesome. We have... The Goldbergs looks like it's going to get renewed for a season 2. It has not been officially picked up by ABC, at least publicly, but the creator of the Goldbergs said during a panel for the show last week that, you know, kind of on the down low, this show's been picked up for another season. So I'm excited about that. The Goldbergs is my favorite number one new comedy on television. If you haven't seen The Goldbergs, highly recommend it. Every episode has been hilarious. This has been the best new comedy show on television. So I'm happy to hear it come back for a second season. Just waiting for that official word from ABC. Back to the Star Wars Episode 7 stuff, they're actually still looking for another female lead. A lot of people, when the casting came out, I told you that Daisy Lady was the only female that was new to the cast, other than Carrie Fisher coming back, and they're saying that they're still looking for another female lead to join on Star Wars Day on April 4th. J.J. Abrams did a quick little video telling everybody, you know, happy, you know, May the 4th be with you. And he said that more casting announcements will be made. So, you know, the news that we dropped was kind of the startup and probably the main core cast, but there's a lot more to come. So look for another female lead to get added, plus some other stuff. Let's see here. Think that the Spider-Man Sinister Six has been revealed. And this here, I don't want to say spoiler alert, but you know, I don't think it really gives anything away. During the credits of the Spider-Man movie, they show a lot of images. And if you piece together what the images are, you can kind of figure out who the Sinister Six are going to be in the upcoming villain movie. So, confirmed, kind of, for the Sinister Six is the Green Goblin, Rhino, Dr. Octopus, Vulture, and Kraven the Hunter, along with either Mysterio or the Chameleon. Now, they're all images, like I said, that basically gave things away. So, they showed an image of the glider, so then you know that that's Green Goblin. They show the Rhino horn, so you know it's Rhino. They show the tentacles, so you know it's Doc Ock. They show a wing, so you know it's Vulture. Then they show the logo If you know what Kraven the Hunter's vest looks like, it's got a certain logo on it, and they show that logo, so you know he's coming. And then the last image is kind of like almost like a half face with smoke coming out of it. So that one confused a lot of people, and that's why they say it's either Mysterio or it's the Chameleon. So take it for what it is. I would prefer Mysterio, because I've been always waiting for Mysterio to make a big screen presence. I don't even know anything about the Chameleon, so we'll see. But right now, that is your rumored Sinister Six lineup based on the end credits of The Amazing Spider-Man 2. In some sad news, Bob Hoskins died at the age of 71. Bob, best known for Who Framed Roger Rabbit. For some people, he's best known as Mario in the Super Mario Brothers film. Bob was a great, great actor. He suffered from Parkinson's, and he got the pneumonia lately, and he just could not fight it off, and he passed away. So Bob Hoskins dead at the age of 71, R.I.P. Jen and the Holograms has added Ryan Guzman as Rio. Hugh Jackman is once again casting doubt that he will become Wolverine again. Hugh likes to do this for the last couple films, but basically he's stating he has not signed on for the Wolverine 3, which the Wolverine 3 got greenlit a couple months ago, and everybody assumed that he was signed on. He says, "I have not signed on." He says that they are still working on a script, they're still figuring out the story, and he says, if it's not the best story he's read for doing X-Men, he will not come back. He says he needs it to be a better story, it's got to entice him to return, and that if he does return, he's 99.9% sure that will be the last time he will be Wolverine. So, take it for what it is. I know you likes to say this. He loves the character so much, though. And I think, you know, the studio would not have greenlit Wolverine 3 if he wasn't pretty much contractually obligated to come back. I find that very hard to believe that they would go public and announce that this movie's coming in a couple years and then not, you know, have him signed. So, I guess my bigger question is he going to be in X-Men Apocalypse in 2016? That's my bigger question. So, because no word on that yet. We just keep talking about Wolverine 3. So I'm curious if he's coming back for that. You know, it's a matter of time before he steps away, and I do expect after Wolverine 3 that he will step away. So, you know, and it's fine. I mean, he's getting older, and I can't complain, man. The guy has given me many, many movies. He's played the same character more times than anybody else in the history of cinema, and he's been amazing at it. So I love Hugh Jackman. I love him as Wolverine, but how much more could you possibly do, right? David Spade has confirmed the movie you've all been waiting for. He says that a sequel to Joe Dirt is in development. Yes, Joe Dirt-A is getting a sequel after all these years. David Spade's returning as the famed character of Joe Dirt. Project Greenlight is set to return over at HBO with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. Sci-Fi has signed to do a deal for a third Sharknado film. Yes, the second one hasn't even come out yet, but a third Sharknado film is coming. They're trying to make an NWA biopic film, but they are struggling trying to find the stars for the film. So there's an article on that over on our Twitter page. Let's see here. History Channel has set a Pawn Stars spin-off game show. Yes, a game show based on all questions revolving around the Pawn Stars TV show. Are we getting that desperate for TV that we're now having a game show based on a reality show? Stupid. The TLC channel has renewed My Five Lives. Nick Carter and Jordan Knight have formed a duo called Nick and Knight. Yes, I'm not lying about this. Nick Carter from the Backstreet Boys and Jordan Knight from New Kids on the Block have formed a duo together. And yes, they are called Nick and Knight. Baz Luhrmann, who most recently did The Great Gatsby, he also did Moulin Rouge. He is set, or I'm not sorry, not set. He is in talks to helm the new Elvis Presley biopic for Warner Brothers. I think he'd be a pretty good fit for an Elvis movie, so that's pretty cool. Hailee Steinfeld has boarded Pitch Perfect 2. Tim Blake Nelson has joined the Fantastic Four as the scientist who becomes Mole Man. We have the new updated trailer for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the second trailer. It's pretty much exactly the same as the first trailer, but they do show the rest of the turtles. So that's pretty cool, because the first trailer really only showed Michelangelo, and this one does give you glimpses of all of the turtles. So that's pretty cool. We have the trailer for the movie They Came Together, starring Paul Rudd and Amy Poehler. It's a new comedy film. It looks pretty cool. We got Everything Wrong with Labyrinth in 7 minutes or less. The Spider-Man producers have shot down any idea of Miles Morales or any of the other incarnations of Spider-Man coming to the big screen. The producers say for them, it's all about Peter Parker and only Peter Parker, so you will not see any other version of a Spider-Man from the comics on the big screen other than Peter Parker. So that kind of answers a lot of questions that people had about the future of the franchise. Because even Andrew Garfield himself said he'd love to see Miles Morales come in, or maybe doing a double thing or a crossover. And the producers are like, no, that's not happening. Mark Ruffalo is actually working with Andy Serkis to perfect the Hulk for Avengers 2. That's awesome, and we just talked about Andy Serkis joining Star Wars and how amazing he is, you know, in motion capture. And him working with Mark Ruffalo on the Hulk is pretty damn awesome. We have an article up about, and this is kind of spoiler territory, so I'm not going to talk about it. If you want to know more, check out our Facebook or our Twitter page. But we released a rumored spoiler of how the new Terminator Genisys is going to connect to the original Terminator film. There's a pretty cool way that they're doing it, and we explain it in that article. We got the new trailer for the movie The Signal. This looks really, really cool. David Goyer has joined James Cameron for Fantastic Voyage. He is writing the script for that. I think James Cameron's going to actually produce as they do the remake for Fantastic Voyage. TV Land has renewed Hot in Cleveland for season 6. Olympus Has Fallen sequel is coming, baby. London Has Fallen has been acquired by Focus Features, and it gets a release date. So let me pull this up right here real quick, because I'm excited about this. October 2015. Yes, my friends, it is coming. Let me see if I can find the exact date here. I loved Olympus Is Falling. I just want to put that out there. Some people, you know, talk some shit, and they're like, oh, you know, I don't know about that movie, but I loved it. I loved Olympus Is Falling. I hated White House Down, which came out after with Channing Tatum. It was stupid. But Olympus Is Falling was awesome. The new movie is called London Has Fallen, and Gerard Butler will return as the Secret Service agent, and it will hit theaters on October 2nd, 2015. Very, very cool. I'm excited about that. Sony has shifted the Goosebumps and the Smurfs movie release dates. They've actually moved Goosebumps up and I believe pushed Smurfs back. Let's see here. Goosebumps, which stars Jack Black and is based on the R.L. Stein children's horror books, has been moved up from March 23rd, 2016, and will now open in theaters on August 7th, 2015. And the new untitled Smurfs movie, which was originally slated for August 14th, 2015, has now been pushed a year later to August 5th, 2016. So lots of shifting there from Sony. Pretty cool they're moving the Goosebumps movie up. That's actually supposed to be really good. So there you go for that. Mark Hamill has stated that the Star Wars casting is great and that the saga is in superb hands. So great to hear that from Luke Skywalker himself. Homeland actress Marina Baraken has joined Melissa McCarthy in the new spy comedy. The 2014 Daytime Emmy nominees have been announced. You can check that article out on the Facebook and Twitter page. Kristen Chenoweth is going to play Maleficent in Disney Channel's Descendants movie. Um, I'm excited about this. Call of Duty has announced their new title. It's called Advanced Warfare, and it's going to come out on November 4th, 2014, later this year, on all the gaming consoles. This looks amazing. I'm a big Call of Duty fan, and I've been saying for many, many years, my favorite versions of Call of Duty are the Modern Warfare games. And I've always said they should do a futuristic warfare or something like that. And then now look what we get. Advanced Warfare, which is exactly what I was talking about. It's in the future. High-tech weapons, the whole nine. Looks pretty damn awesome, so I'm super excited about that. Kevin Spacey plays the villain in the game, which is pretty awesome. Adult Swim has renewed Children's Hospital for Season 6. Doctor Who's Matt Smith has joined the Terminator Genesis movie in a very major role. Lou Ferrigno stated in an interview the other day that a Hulk solo movie is coming after Avengers Age of Ultron. I don't know how much to believe of that because we've heard nothing from Kevin Feige and the Marvel people, and it's hard for me to believe that Lou Ferrigno just has this top secret information floating around, but gotta report the news, and that's what he says. Girl Meets World is going to premiere this June. Dread producers say that a sequel talk is in the very preliminary stages and that there's no script yet on it. We have the first official trailer for the movie Boyhood. What's kind of crazy about this Boyhood movie is that they've actually been filming this film for like 12 years. They started with this boy when he was like 8 years old or 6 years old, something like that, and then they filmed the movie straight for 12 years because they wanted to see him grow up and go through all these different things, and they didn't want to change out the actor. Pretty damn crazy. But we have the trailer for that. In an interesting article, this isn't even really entertainment-based, but it happened to Ben Affleck, so I want to talk about it. Ben Affleck was banned from playing blackjack at the Hard Rock Casino after getting caught counting cards. Damn it, Ben, what are you doing? Now, counting cards is not illegal, but casinos don't like it, and they will kick you out if that happens. So, yeah, he's banned from the Hard Rock after counting cards. Joaquin Phoenix is going to star in Woody Allen's next film. Brett Ratner is going to direct Beverly Hills Cop 4, and it's got a 2016 release date. So very cool. I think it's going to come out in March, actually, March of 2016. Eddie Murphy is returning, and Brett Ratner is directing. Girl Meets World is going to premiere on June 27th over on the Disney Channel. The new Halo series that has been rumored for a long time may actually wind up on the Showtime Channel. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are teaming up for a mystery movie project. I'm intrigued. The last time they were on screen together was Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which was awesome. So, very, very cool there. Salem has been renewed for a second season over on the WGN. It's their first official exclusive TV show, and it's done pretty well for them, so they've renewed it for a second season. I never watched this show on HBO, but a long time ago there was a show called The Comeback over on HBO starring, oh my god, I'm spacing her name now, Lisa Kudrow from Friends. But it's coming back. They're going to do a limited, I think, 6-episode run next year. So that's coming back to HBO after all these years. In another early renewal, Netflix has renewed Orange is the New Black for a third season. Pretty crazy. The second season hasn't even started yet. But once again, they've just jumped ahead. Matt Damon is open to playing Jason Bourne again. No shocker here. He's kind of stated this before in the past. He just really wants to work with Paul Greengrass again, who is the original director of the films. He says, you know, if Paul comes back and they get a good script, I would totally be down to do this movie again, which has pretty much been his kind of go-to every time somebody asks him about it. I would like to see him return with Jeremy Renner and kind of link those, you know, those separate movies together, because they are doing another movie with Jeremy Renner's character from The Bourne Legacy. And I would love to see Damon come back and kind of mix those characters up. Jimmy Kimmel has signed a 2-year contract extension, so that's pretty cool. As all these other hosts are going away and retiring and leaving, Jimmy Kimmel is one that signs a 2-year contract. The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 2 has added Michelle Forbes to the roster. We have the new first official full-length trailer for Tammy. Tammy is the new comedy starring Melissa McCarthy and Susan Sarandon. That trailer just dropped today, along with Everything Wrong with King Kong, the Peter Jackson version, in 10 minutes or less. Everything Wrong with King Kong. We also have an honest trailer for Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. New Girl has promoted Damon Wayans Jr. to series regular for season 4. I'm super excited about this. I love Damon Wayans Jr. I love him in New Girl. He's been pretty much in all the episodes for season 3. So this is no shocker here that they just made it official for season 4. He came into season 3 a little bit late. The story with Damon Wayans Jr. has been pretty funny because, you know, he did the pilot episode of New Girl. Because he was on the show Happy Endings, and Happy Endings looked like it was going to get canceled, so he did New Girl. And then Happy Endings ended up getting picked up for another season, so he had to leave New Girl, go back to Happy Endings. They replaced him with a different dude, but they made the guy a different character, Winston, if you watch New Girl. And then when Happy Endings ended earlier in the year, he came back to New Girl, and he's been pretty much on every episode since. So I already felt like he was already a series regular, but I guess since he came in mid-season, they had to keep him as like a guest star. But it's now official. He will be a series regular for season 4, which is awesome because this dude totally belongs in the show. The first trailer for Fox's Gotham TV show is here, and we got it posted on the Facebook and Twitter page. I actually haven't even had a chance to watch it yet. I'm curious to see what they do with it. Of course, this is the prequel to Batman. There's no Batman in the show, but it will have some villains, and it mainly centers around a young Commissioner Gordon. Today on DVD and Blu-ray is the Veronica Mars movie. X-Men Days of Future Past is on track to open with $125 million here in the U.S. That if it does do that, that would be the biggest opening ever for an X-Men film. It's projected to be the biggest X-Men film of all time, which makes the most sense to me, because this is kind of like their Avengers. I mean, they're taking the old school trilogy cast, they're tying it in with the X-Men First Class cast. It's got everything going for it. Everybody I talk to says they're looking most forward to this movie. It was my second most anticipated movie of the summer. So, this makes sense to me, and I hope it does bring in over $100 million on opening weekend. NBC has pulled the shows Crisis and Believe from its schedule. I DVR'd a couple episodes of Believe, and then I ended up just deleting them because I was like, you know what? It's probably just going to get canceled, and it looks like it is. So I'm glad I never even started and wasted time. Crisis, I heard a couple good things about, but I didn't watch either of these two shows. But if you do, don't look for them on these upcoming Sundays, because NBC has pulled both Crisis and Believe from the schedule. The new Interstellar poster, it's the new movie from Christopher Nolan. The new poster has hit the web today, and its first official trailer, there's a little teaser trailer out there that's just stupid, doesn't really do nothing, but the first official trailer will debut in front of Godzilla in a couple weeks. Ben Stiller's doing another Night at the Museum, and the official name for the movie is now Night at the Museum, Secret of the Tomb. And in sequel news that I didn't think was ever going to happen, Spring Breakers is getting a sequel, ladies and gentlemen. Spring Breakers getting a sequel from the screenwriter of Trainspotting. No word of any of the same cast is coming back, or they're just going to try to do like a spin-off type thing with the same type of scenario with a different set of kids. That's probably what they're going to do, and just kind of keep that title going. Starz has renewed Da Vinci's Demons for season 3. In news that just dropped today, Gerard Butler has dropped out of the Point Break remake. So this is a little disappointing. Gerard Butler was going to play the role that Patrick Swayze played in the original film, and he dropped out over creative differences and also just scheduling, because now that London has fallen, has gotten its official start date, and they're going to go into production here soon. He just couldn't make it work with his schedule, so he had to drop out. So that's a little bit of a bummer. I really was looking forward to Gerard Butler in the Point Break remake. Disney says that at least three non-saga Star Wars films are in the works. Now, we know that Disney said they're going to try to do a spin-off film every other year in between, like the Episode 7, Episode 8, Episode 9, that they'll do spin-offs in between, but they're working on at least three of them right now. No official word on what those are. Emma Stone is going to star opposite Joaquin Phoenix and Woody Allen's next movie. And that'll do it. That brings us up to speed. We are caught up on all the latest and greatest in the world of entertainment news. Let's go over to the box office. I'm not going to do music this week. We're just going to wrap it up with box office. Like I said, on DVD and Blu-ray this week is Veronica Mars. In theaters on Friday is going to be Neighbors and Chef. Neighbors is going to be awesome. I'm super stoked about it. All early word from people that have seen it so far is that it's hilarious. All pre-screening reviews have said this is going to be the comedy movie to beat this year. And I have no doubt. The trailers have all killed me. I have utmost faith in Seth Rogen and his team. I think it's going to be great. Chef, I hope Chef does pretty good too. I've heard a lot of good things about Chef as well. Stars Jon Favreau, Scarlett Johansson's in it, Robert Downey Jr. even pops up in it. A lot of good people in it. So a good weekend at the movies with Neighbors and Chef. Let's run down the box office. Coming in number 10 is The Grand Budapest Hotel with $1.7 million. Number 9 is God's Not Dead with $1.8 million. Number 8 is The Quiet Ones with $2 million. Number 7 is Divergent with $2.2 million. Number 6 is Brick Mansions with $3.5 million. Number 5 is Rio 2 with $7.6 million. Number 4 is Captain America the Winter Soldier with $7.8 million. Number 3 is Heaven is for Real with $8.7 million. Number 2 is The Other Woman with $14.2 million. And your new number 1 film, no shocker here, is The Amazing Spider-Man 2 with a whopping $92 million. The question has come out of, you know, is this a success or is this a failure for Spider-Man? It's pretty much a success, but I'd be lying if I said that probably Sony isn't a little bummed that it didn't cross $100 million. To kind of match it up here, when Captain America the Winter Soldier came out about a month ago at the beginning of April, it made $96 million in its opening weekend. 96! Captain America, the first movie, was the weakest box office run of any of the Marvel films. So for the second one to open with $96 million, that was gigantic. Now for The Amazing Spider-Man 2, it only did $92 million, and that's the first official opening weekend of the summer box office season. And it did less than Captain America did in April. So from that aspect, it's a little bit of a bummer. Amazing Spider-Man 2 cost more money. They spent more money in marketing. So I would think that they're a little bit disappointed. Now, if this was any other movie in the world, $92 million would be a ginormous opening. But for Spider-Man 2, it's good. I just don't think it's great. I know. And it's hard to really explain when you make $92 million for me to sit here and say it's not great. Because that is a great number, but when you look at it in, you know, comparison to like Winter Soldier, and you look at its marketing, and you look at everything surrounding this summer movie season, May, it did 92. So, I know Sony really wanted to cross that $100 million mark. I mean, that's what Spider-Man 3 did. You know, so they're still trying to work up to those Sam Raimi numbers. But it's your number one film, and we'll see how much it dips next week because of the word of mouth and everything not being as strong as some of the other movies. All right, my friends, that'll do it for us tonight. Super appreciate everybody tuning in and checking us out, as always. And let me shout out the affiliates, RedDragonsRadio.com. Please bookmark that. Red Dragons Radio got a lot of movement going on lately, signing some new shows to the team. We got a couple other new ones in the works. And it's going to be good. So RedDragonsRadio.com, where you can listen to the web's best podcast. Follow on Twitter at RedDragonsRadio so you can always see what's going down with the programming on there. Of course, the XS Radio Network as well. You can follow on Twitter at XS Radio. You can download and subscribe to us on iTunes. If you need that iTunes tab, just head on over to our iTunes tab on our official page, which is amiontheair.com. You'll see an iTunes tab. Click it. It's got a button right there. It'll take you straight to our stream where you can subscribe. Please, if you listen on iTunes, just take a second. Give us, you know, some stars. Write a quick little review. It really, really helps us out. Once again, the official webpage is amiontheair.com. That's our official site. It's where you can see the movie reviews, box office, trailers, the whole nine. Right there, listen to the show, amiontheair.com. Just go ahead and bookmark that. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/amiontheair. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/amiontheair. Follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/dxdonmega. You can find all of this information on our social tab over on amiontheair.com as well. If you'd like to listen to us on the go, Stitcher is the app you want to download for your streaming device. You can get on your iPad, on your iPhone, on Android, everything, Windows, get Stitcher. You can listen to Am I on the Air right there. And of course, subscribe to us on YouTube, where you can see trailers and you can listen to the show and everything right there on our YouTube channel, which is, of course, youtube.com/amiontheair. That'll do it for tonight. I should be back this Sunday, and hopefully I'll have a review here for you for Neighbors. And thanks once again for tuning in. I appreciate you, as always. My name is Don Mega. Till next time, peace. Red Dragon!